Her name was Junie Jo Pruitt. I won't forget it quickly, although she has no doubt forgotten mine. I walked down the dark street alone, past houses set back off the street, through the darkness, past privet hedges, under elm trees, through air rich and ripe with promise. Her house stood back from the street, even farther than the others. It sort of crouched in the darkness, looking out at me, kneeling, pregnant with girldom, a real girlfriend house. The first faint touch of nervousness filtered through the marrow of my skull bone as I knocked on the door of the screen-enclosed porch. No answer. I knocked again, louder. Through the murky screens, I could see faint lights in the house itself. Still no answer. Then I found a small doorbell button buried in the sash. I pressed. From far off in the bowels of the house, I heard two chimes bong politely. It sure didn't sound like our doorbell. We had a real ripper that went off like a broken buzzsaw, more of a brack than a muffled bong. This was a rich people's doorbell. The door opened, and there stood a real, genuine, gold-plated father, potbelly, underwear, shirt, suspenders, and all. "Well?" he asked. For one blinding moment of embarrassment, I couldn't remember her name. After all, she was a blind date. I couldn't just say, "I'm here to pick up some girl." He turned back into the house and hollered, "Junie Jo, some kid's here." I countered. He led me into the living room. It was an itchy house. Sticky, stucco walls of a dull orange color, and all over the floor this oriental rug with the design crawling around, making loops and swirls. I sat on an overstuffed chair covered in stiff green mohair that scratched even through my slacks. Little twisty bridge lamps stood everywhere. I instantly began to sweat down the back of my clean white shirt. Like I said, it was a very itchy house. It had little lamps sticking out of the walls that looked like phony candles, with phony glass-orange flames. The rug started moaning to itself. I sat on the edge of the chair and tried to talk to this father. He was a Cub fan. We struggled underwater for what seemed like an hour and a half, when suddenly I heard someone coming down the stairs. First the feet, then those legs, and there she was. She was magnificent, the greatest-looking girl I ever saw in my life. I have hit the double jackpot, and on a blind date. Great Scott! My senses actually reeled as I clutched the arm of that bilge green chair for support. Junie Jo Pruitt made Cleopatra look like a Girl Scout. 5 minutes later, we are sitting in the streetcar heading toward the bowling alley. I am sitting next to the most fantastic creation in the feminine department known to Western man. There are four of us in that long yellow-lit streetcar. No one else was aboard, just us four. I, naturally, being a trained gentleman, sat on the aisle to protect her from candy wrappers and cigar butts and such. Directly ahead of me, also on the aisle, sat Schwartz, his arm already flung affectionately in a death grip around Helen's neck as we boomed and rattled through the night. I casually flung my right foot up onto my left knee so that she could see my crepe-soled, perforated, wing-toed Scotch bluchers with the two-tone laces. I started to work my famous charm on her, casually, with my practiced, offhand, cynical, cutting, sardonic humor. I told her about how my old man had cracked the block in the Oldsmobile, how the White Sox were going to have a good year this year, how my kid brother wet his pants when he saw a snake, how I figured it was going to rain, what a great guy Schwartz was, what a good second baseman I was, how I figured I might go out for football. On and on I rolled, like Old Man River, pausing significantly for her to pick up the conversation. Nothing.